This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's Creature Feature, a spotlight on one of the Wildlife Hospital Dunedin's extra special guests.
Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, Jordana White joins us for another conversation about one of Dunedin Wildlife Hospital's recent guests. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Jordana.
Morena, how's it going?
I'm going very well indeed. I hope you're okay on this rather cool and wet morning.
Well, it's sort of appropriate for the creature that we're talking about today. Oh, okay. Cool and wet. Yep.
Right.
Today we are going to be talking about the Snares Crested Penguin, or the Pocotifa. Now, I will caution you, you have to be very careful with how you say Pocotifa. You don't want to accidentally linger on those O sounds. If you put macarons over them, it means something very different in Te Reo Māori, and you might offend somebody. So we'll just stick with Pocotifa, the Snares Crested Penguin. We have featured crested penguins on this program before.
We've
talked about Fiordland Crested Penguins, and we've talked about Erect Crested Penguins. But today, it's our friends from the Snares Tern. And the reason I want to talk about these guys today is because we have had an absolute influx of crested penguins over the summer, just the last few months since January. We don't know why, but it has been a flood of crested. So we've actually seen quite a lot of these guys so far. It's still pretty early in the year. Last year, we had a total of 11 crested penguins between those three species. And already, just in the last 2.5 months, we've had 10 Fiordland crested, 11 erect crested, and now 5 Snares crested penguins.
Okay, so no clues at this point as to why that is.
Well, yeah, we don't really know. It's possible that they've actually just had a very good breeding season, and there's just a lot of penguins around, or maybe a good couple of seasons, and perhaps they're going a little bit further afield for food, or there's more food competition where they would normally be foraging, and they're just turning up here. So we're not exactly sure why, but it doesn't matter to us. We're going to take care of them if they need us.
Remind us where the Snares are.
Yes, the Snares. Great question. That's on my list. The Snares are considered a subantarctic island, but they are actually only 100 kilometers south of Rockyore Stewart Island. So they're actually not far at all. But it's a really it's a place that most people don't get to go. In fact, almost nobody really gets to go there. It's quite a protected area. It's never had introduced mammals, so it's quite a special place. So essentially, the only people that get to land there are a scant few specialty rangers that go down there and do studies and research and field work.
They're pretty wild country there, I would imagine.
Yeah, now listen, I was just to have a personal connection to this place now because on my way back from my subantarctic field season this year, we stopped to pick up that special seabird team from the Snares. And I had this incredible opportunity to see the Snares. Now, I didn't get to get off the boat. I'm not one of the people on the list. But we anchored just off the Snares at sunrise, and it was magnificent. It was mind-blowing. We got there at 6 in the morning, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of TT birds leaving the island. And then once they had all left, then that was the albatross and molly mock exodus. And all that time, rafts of Snares penguins were swimming past us and coming off in droves, coming off the island in droves. It was magnificent. So they have a pretty special place to live. So it's sometimes a bit of a surprise that they come up here. Get into a bit of trouble coming up here.
Practically tropical for them up here, I would imagine.
Well, it's not too, only 100 kilometers south of Rockyore. It's not too different. But, when they do come up, so the Snares that we've had so far this season, they've had a few sort of thematic, I guess, reasons for coming in. We're putting a lot of it down to predation. That's sort of how we've tagged their injuries or wounds, but we don't necessarily know exactly what's happened to them. It's unlikely to be sort of a trauma situation where maybe they, run into something or get hit by a propeller or something like that, just by nature of where they live typically and where they move. So it's more likely that they're being bitten by something, but we just don't know exactly what that is. So we've had, of the five we've had, we've had a couple of old injuries to the flippers. We had one that had bite wounds to its feet and neck, but we're not sure what had bitten it. And then we've had one underweight molter. So it was during its molt. So it came ashore. We've talked about this with penguins before on the show that once a year, penguins have to get rid of all of their old feathers and grow in their new feathers. And they have to stand on shore to do that. They can't go into the water. So we've had a couple that just didn't get themselves fat enough before the molt. And the one that we have currently, which was just admitted on Monday, was post-molt. So it had made it through the molt, but only just. So it's quite emaciated. It's quite light, a starvation case. So a small range, but we've had great luck with them. We've been able to send three out to our rehab partners at the opera. We've got that one with us now. Unfortunately, we couldn't save one of them, but that's so be it.
In terms of size, how big are these penguins?
So they're considered to be a medium-sized crested penguin, which is just like a not helpful description at all if you don't know how big the crested penguins are. It's roughly two times the size of a little blue penguin. The NZ Birds Online will tell you they get to be about 60 centimeters tall, but this one that we have in hospital is so tiny. It's so little, and part of it is because it is starving. It only came in at 1.7 kg, and it should be 3 kg. It's only about just right, roughly over half its body weight, but it's quite little, like not much taller than a little blue. So there's a bit of a range there. To describe this penguin, it looks like a penguin. You know, it's a pretty classic black and white penguin. You're going to know what it is when you see it, that it's a penguin. It's got quite a chunky orange bill to it. And it's got what I would consider that 90s like light lip liner on the outside of the bill, you know, like just making the bill look a little bit too big. And then it's got some really cool yellow punk rock double crests that kind of do a V formation off of the head, you know, like a really cool rockin' eyebrows. Like
they are. I'm looking at the photo on NZ Birds Online, by the way, and we always recommend you do this if you're following along the conversation. Do it now. It's an attractive.
It's
bird.
Beautiful. Yeah, they're beautiful. And this one, the patient that we have right now, like I said, it's just finished its molt, and so it's got these beautiful fresh feathers. It's just like the contrast between the black and the white and the yellow is really stark and stunning. Now they are quite similar to the erect crested and the Fjordland crested or the Tawaki. Serious bird nerds will immediately know the difference between the three of them, and you also can know the difference by going on to NZ Birds Online and having a look at the description, but describing it here would just be so boring. I'm not going to do it. It's just too subtle. And also, I would like, look, we love this resource. Like Jeff said, we do recommend you go to this website. There's lots of great information. You learn lots of cool stuff about all of these species. But I just have to call them out. They keep describing penguins as portly, and I find it quite rude. I don't know why we're body
by what
shaping.
Standards?
Yeah, thank you. Why are we calling them portly? I don't even know what. Yeah, it's they're penguin shaped. Okay.
Yeah,
that's enough. I don't want to make
them
feel bad.
And the one that's with you right now is certainly not portly.
He's certainly not. No, in fact, we would like to fatten him up a bit, actually. So that's one of the things I want to say about the snares, about the islands themselves. So they are called the Snares Crested Penguins because that's where they live. They're endemic to New Zealand. So they're pretty much endemic to the snare. Well, they are endemic to the Snares Islands. They have one breeding site, and that's this island group, and it's a small island group. So it's really quite a precarious position for them to be in as a species. And I just want to say on those islands, 25,000 to 30,000 breeding pairs of penguins. They are jam packed in there. It was just mind blowing seeing how many penguins were coming off that island. But the one thing that kind of situation puts them at risk for really is the highly pathogenic avian influenza that we're all worried about. That is something that could absolutely devastate the species altogether because they don't breed anywhere else but here.
Right.
So it's quite dangerous. They are considered naturally uncommon. And that is one of they just have one place that they live and that's it. They just live there. They don't go, you know, don't see them much.
So good numbers. You wouldn't describe them at risk in that regard.
Right.
But something like that could be devastating.
Correct. Yeah. So unlike many of the creatures that we talk about, they don't have issues with predation because they only live on a predator-free island normally. And, you know, there are some I suppose there are food threats. You know, there is commercial fishing around those islands, within a certain distance and overlapping with their foraging grounds. But they're not, you know, they have the natural predators are leopard seals, skua, and giant petrels. Sometimes sea lions would take them, but there aren't heaps of sea lions at the snares. So it's just this sort of these other types of risks, I guess. So, yeah, the numbers aren't necessarily dropping. I will say they know that there are 25,000 to 30,000 snares crested penguins because somebody goes and counts them, apparently. I don't know how they do that, but let's spare a thought for those rangers. The DOC website says it takes them about 2 weeks to count all the nests, and I thought, how could you possibly accurately count that many nests? Incredible work. I don't know how they do it. And I also, how do you get that job? I'm not sure I want it, but I'm really, really interested in knowing
more
about
that. For a season,
perhaps,
Jordana.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Yeah, so it's unusual. A lot of the crested penguin species are thought to be dropping in numbers, but the snares seems to be fairly stable, which is good. Speaking of food, so the food competition with the fishery. So the snares penguins will typically eat arrow squid and maybe red cod as a main food, red bait. And they dive up to about 120 meters, which is a pretty good haul, I say, for what I would consider to be quite a small penguin. But we don't make our snares patients work that hard in the hospital. So, you know, naturally what they're getting with us.
Slurry.
Is the fish slurry. And this one in particular, because it is so underweight, we're doing a really highly managed, what's called a refeeding protocol. So I've talked about that a bit before, but that's just when you have a patient that's that underweight, they can start to go into organ failure, and you have to be really, really careful with how you start refeeding them, because you can shock their system and kick that organ failure off. So you definitely don't want that. I happened to be at the hospital last night helping to admit a patient after hours. And this snares is, because our seabird ward is so full with all the other penguins, this one is hanging out in the forest bird ward. And I was not expecting that. And I walked by its enclosure and it brayed at me. These things bray. That is the word that I will use. I don't know how else to call it. They make crazy noises. They're super loud. And if you're not expecting it, or if they're out in the therapy pool area, or, you know, in a ward at night in the forest bird ward, thinking you're just going to hear like a kittadoo cooing or something, there is bananas. Now I think we've got an example of what they sound like. Let's just going to play that.
It does sound a bit like "get the heck out of my way."
Yeah, and that's what I heard last night in the forest. Bird made me jump a mile. It was great.
Okay.
So they do have a range of personalities, of course, like anything else. But this particular one's a little bit feisty. Last night he was—I don't know what he was grumping at me about. I think he thought I was there to feed him, which I was not. But the first snares patient we had this year was a little female. She was lovely. She had a lovely temperament. Very sweet. Easy to handle. Took food really well. This one, not so much. Mostly this, you know, you get the sweet ones, you get the feral ones. It's just like you and I, Jeff, you know. One of us is sweet, one of us is feral. You know,
which one is which, though?
I'm definitely the feral one. Without question. So it's not that unusual for us to get snares crested penguins on the mainland. So if they're coming up to molt or they're just coming up for a little explore, they do travel pretty far and wide. There was one, in fact, in January that turned up in Punta Arenas in Chile, which is about 7,500 kilometer swim for a penguin that's, you know, not even knee high. So it's a pretty good haul. It was in fine condition. It was just maybe just following its...
Just an adventurer.
Just having an OE.
Going off to find new lands.
Backpacking through South America, I guess. Mm. Yeah. So they can go, you know, so if you think about it, I mean, the snare is not that far from the mainland, really. So in fact, now that I think about it, it's a bit surprising that we don't see them more often, but this is not the direction they tend to travel. It's just wouldn't be that rare for them to come up here. But yes, yeah, it's just, like I said, they do have to come ashore to molt, and sometimes they do come ashore on the mainland. So it's just a reminder this time of year to please just keep an eye on your dogs on beaches. Please don't let them run into the dunes without you being able to see them, because you can't see that penguin. It's hiding under a bush somewhere, but your dog sure can smell it.
Yeah.
And we have admitted snares crested penguins in the past with dog bite wounds. So let's not have that again.
Okay. So if you're ever wondering why there are these rules and regulations and suggestions about controlling your animals, it's that. And, you know, we're not blaming the dog. They have this natural curiosity.
Absolutely.
A lot of the breeds have it built in and they go and fetch that animal. And, you know, we know, and Jordana and her team can tell you about the damage and the trauma that is resulting from that. And, you know, there's still plenty of ways your dog and you can have fun on the beach.
Yeah, that's right. We can avoid penguins coming into the hospital with dog bite wounds. So let's try that.
Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Lovely to learn about yet another wonderful creature, and an attractive penguin it is. Do check it out online, NZ Birds Online. And we look forward to hearing more about the work of your team next time we have a conversation. Jordana, thanks for joining us this morning.
Kia ora.
The Wildlife Hospital Dunedin treats sick and injured native New Zealand species right here in the heart of Aotearoa's wildlife capital. Their expert veterinary team patches up more than 500 patients every year, returning the majority of them back to the wild where they belong. You can learn more about the hospital, including ways to support this charitable trust, at wildlifehospitaldunedin.org.nz or follow their Facebook page for more fabulous creature content.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.